Please turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 as our theme verse for a series of messages concerning Thanksgiving. I know it's December now, and Thanksgiving was, last week or week and a half ago? But I'm using a Christmas story, a Christmas account with Thanksgiving. So I'm okay this morning, right? And this is the last message of this series on Thanksgiving in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, and Matthew chapter 2. Also, if you would turn there, put your finger in it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, our theme verse is, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Let us pray. Lord, we do pause now and say how great you are, how wonderful you are that you came in the flesh to redeem us, to pay the sin debt, so that we can have a relationship with you and have eternal life. And Lord, we give you praise this morning. And Lord, help us also to give thanks, Lord, in the way we live for you. Help us, Lord, to be wise men and women, boys and girls, that keeps our eyes upon you and upon your scripture. And, Lord, follow you in all of our life. We give you praise this morning in the name above all names, and that's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. In everything, give thanks in everything. We're going to look at an example this morning of giving thanks and giving in worship. And that now is in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, the story of the Magi from the east, the wise men. And we will take the time this morning to begin in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 2. The Bible reads this way. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" So how do they know about the Messiah's birth? Most scholars believe that because Daniel was a prophet, a man of God, also a Magi in Babylon, told the Magi about the Messiah and his birth. So they were looking and they saw his star. They were in the east and they saw his star, and they wanted to come and worship him. Now in verse 3, "When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." So this wicked king, he did a lot of good things, what men would say. He refurbished the temple, and he did this, and he did that, but he was a murderer. Okay, so when Herod was troubled, so was all Jerusalem. And, you know, also, if it was just three wise men or three Magi coming to Jerusalem, it probably wouldn't be that big of a stir. So it was probably a caravan of them coming to worship the Messiah. So they were troubled. Verse 4, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one from God, Christ, was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet.'" And here a case of the Old Testament being quoted in the New Testament. We have this quote, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and not the least among the rulers of Judah, For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. So we know that that is not true because we're not going to read the part, but he sends soldiers later to kill all the male children from 2 years old on down because he wanted to be the only king of the Jews. But you see, he sent and murdered all those young children, all those young boys. And let's kind of take a side note here and say this. Anytime the devil is in charge of a life or anything else, you know who suffers? The children, the innocent. So, you know, in our voting, in our social issues, we need to stay with God's word. And I want to say this, any person that is okay with children killing the unborn, that's of the devil. Okay? So Herod, a wicked, evil person, goes and murders, have all the young male children from 2 years old on under to be murdered and killed. That is wickedness. That is evil. So you and I should never, ever support anything that is for killing innocent little children. Even in the protection of their mother's womb, they should be protected. Amen, church? Now, that's not nothing about Christmas, but that is standing up for what is right. So he didn't want to worship the Messiah. He just wanted to use the wise men to show him where exactly the Messiah was so that he could murder him. So, verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Wasn't that a miracle? Just a star and then stood over where Jesus was at. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced in exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, he was in a house at this time. I don't know exactly how old he was, but he was probably a young infant at this time. I don't want you to go home and tear down your nativity scene and all of that, but he was probably not a little baby in a manger at this time. He was in a house, okay, and Herod had all the two-year-old on down to be murdered. But they were in a house. And verse 11 is the verse we really want to focus on this morning. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So thanksgiving. These wise men went through hardships and great effort to worship Jesus. And they worshiped him with thanksgiving. Great hardships, great effort. Just think, they traveled such a long distance. By faith, they had to believe the prophets. They had to believe Daniel. And they traveled from the east. They saw that star and they followed that star. So great hardships, great danger, and a great danger, not just the traveling of that day, but the danger of going to Herod and asking where the Messiah was to be born. That was, they placed themselves in great jeopardy to go to Herod and ask that question. So great long distance traveling. They were in danger a lot, and the effort to go and worship the newborn king, the Messiah, great effort, and also they took the effort to search the scriptures to find the Messiah. They asked the priests of that day, and the priests, the religious leaders, the scribes, they went to the Old Testament and found the prophecy of where the Messiah was to be born. So this great effort to worship Him. Also in verse 11, while they were worshiping Jesus, they gave their treasure. With thanksgiving, they gave their treasure. And that's what we've been looking at. This is the fifth Sunday of thanksgiving and giving of our treasure. So verse 11 again, they opened their treasure. Opened their treasure. You know, Christmas Day, don't you remember growing up? I had the privilege of growing up being small in the 70s. And we had some, you know, had toys and all that to open up on Christmas Day. Now, my grandparents, they didn't have that. They would get an apple or an orange in a sock. And they would call that Christmas when they were growing up. And some of you can relate to that. But I had the privilege of growing up and actually unwrapping presents. You know, I love to get a gift still today, don't you? Don't you love to unwrap something that you don't know what it is yet, and you tear into it, and we teach our little children how to rip the paper off and then save the bow. That's a big thing. My mama, save that, don't tear the bow. You know, for some reason I learned to open it without tearing the bow, taught my children the same thing. Now the ladies of today, they just use bags. You know, that's the easy way out. Just open the bag and move the paper out of the way. But isn't it exciting to open up something? The Bible says, you know, I know this is a small point, but they opened their treasure. To them, their treasure was very precious to them. And they opened it to this young child, the Messiah. Don't you know, after traveling the hardships and wanting to see the anointed one from God, the Messiah, and bringing those treasures and the excitement of opening those treasures to present to Him. I believe it was just as exciting as any small child on Christmas morning opening up a present. And they presented that treasure to them. Now, the question for you and for myself, what is our treasure to open up to Him? What do we present to the Messiah today? What treasures do you have? I know you have treasures that I may not have, and I have treasures you may not have, but there's some treasures that commonly we all have that we can present to the Messiah in thanksgiving. In thanksgiving. One treasure that you and I possess and is so valuable to us, and that is time. I know I've mentioned time in this series before, but time is so precious, isn't it? You took the time this morning, you woke up on a Sunday morning, it's kind of cool outside. The hunters wanted to go hunting. Some wanted to sleep in. Some got a cough or whatever. But yet you took the effort to come and worship. And you have given your time this morning. You know the Messiah is very grateful to you. But you know who really needs it the most? You and I do. You and I need to worship. But we give our time. Time is so valuable and it's fleeting. You know, today I'm 48 years old. I know I'm young to some of you. I'm an old man to a lot of you now. But time, it goes by so fast. 48 years. You know, another year I had a brother died when he was 49. And I think, wow, how young he was. And yet we don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? In the bulletin, there's a celebration of 90 years. And yet, that goes by so fast. So our time is treasure to us. And we are to redeem the time in serving the Lord and worship and our life given to Him. So time is treasure that we can present to Him in our service and also our talents. Our talents is so precious to us. You know, some use their talents in other avenues, and yet the child of God, I believe, must use their talents to in worship and in service of our King. Some people are so talented they can go make a living with it. But even with that great talent or gift should be used to bring honor and glory as those wise men presented that treasure. Our talents, our gifts, is a treasure given to the King. Another treasure that you and I both share is also, you know, our treasure that we earn. Not only our time, our talents, but things that we have earned, our money, our salary, our paychecks, our possessions. You and I, all, we own certain things and we earn things and we present what we have earned as a treasure to the Lord. It all belongs to Him anyway, doesn't it? All belongs to Him. So these are treasures that we commonly have to present to the Messiah as these wise men presented. Now let's look at the gifts very, very briefly this morning that they presented. Don't know if it was 3 magi or 300, but there was 3 gifts that were specifically mentioned. Again, gold represents kingship. Frankincense means being a healer or a priest. And myrrh. I forgot something up here on the front row. I had to get it. But myrrh. You know, myrrh is something that speaks of death. And, you know, there are Egyptian mummies that have been unearthed that had myrrh buried with them. Why? It lasts so long. And I just wanted to read some stanzas from We Three Kings. Out of the Baptist hymnal. You know, I love praise songs. I love to worship. And I love the praise songs Brother Roland lead us in. I don't like to sing 3 words over and over and over and over and over again. Do you? No, I like the praise songs that has meaning and uplifting to them. And yet, our hymns are so doctrinal. And some of the Christmas carols or hymns in our Baptist hymnal, I mean, it spells the gospel message out in almost every one of them. They're amazing what is spelled out in them. I want to read just 3 of the stanzas of We Three Kings. It's on page 113 if you want to get the Baptist hymnal out. But it speaks of the gifts that the wise men gave to the Messiah. That's the preacher in me. It says, born a king on Bethlehem's plain. Gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Frankincense to offer have I. Incense owns a deity night. Prayer and praising, all men raising, worship Him, God on high. The 4th stanza, myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. Of course, that's not the last stanza, because the gospel is he came forth. Amen? And he's king forever. But these gifts that they, these treasures, they presented with excitement to the Messiah. And it spoke of his life. The gold, you know, they went to Egypt because of Herod. The angel told Joseph, take Mary the mother and the young child and go to Egypt. And they financed that. And then they came back to Nazareth. And all these gifts was presented to the Messiah by these wise men. And you and I have treasure also to give in thanksgiving. Now, last thing I want to share with you this morning is the fourth gift. The fourth gift that the wise men gave to the Messiah. And we've been talking about it all along. But the fourth gift that the wise men gave was their worship. Their worship. Let's read verse 11 again of Matthew chapter 2. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. They worshiped him by giving this treasure, these gifts to him. And I don't want to upset anybody, but I just want to tell the truth here, okay? If Scripture, in any time in Scripture, that Mary would have been prayed to or worshiped, in any time in Scripture, if it ever was going to be mentioned, it would have been right then. But when they went in the house, the wise men fell down and they worshiped, they bowed down and they presented him the gifts and they worshiped him. I don't think there's much more needs to be said about that. They worshiped Jesus. And by the way, he was a young child. It wasn't, you know, Mystery Babylon with a mother and child statue or something like that. He was a young child at this time. And they worshiped him, the Messiah. And their fourth gift that they gave was their worship. Their worship. This worship was the acknowledgement of who he is. And when we come to worship this morning, we acknowledge who he is. Now, who is he to you? Hopefully, he's the Messiah. Hopefully, he's your Redeemer. Hopefully, he's your Savior. Hopefully, he's the example that you have how to live a life of how to love God. He's everything to us. So when we worship him, we acknowledge who he is. Nothing was created without him. He's our creator. He is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. He's the one that died on the cross so that we can have forgiveness of sins. He is the one that's coming back. We acknowledge who he is. And also, when we worship him, it's a life given to him. We give our life to him. And it's a daily walk with him. It's a daily following him. And I want to leave you now with Psalm 100. Psalm 100 says this, and this is such a great picture of worship as a church and worship as individuals. Psalm 100, a great song of giving thanks, of gratitude, of thanksgiving to the Lord. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Let's do that now. I hadn't planned on doing that. Let's say hallelujah real. Just shout it right now. I know Baptists, we got to be, you know, coached into some things. Bless on count of three. Shout hallelujah. 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout to the Lord. Verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and to His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Not just your grandparents, your parents, and you, but your children, your children's children. It's not an opinion, it's a truth. Jesus saves, and hallelujah. Presenting treasures in worship. Worship. Now, to worship Him, truth, and in spirit, you must know Him personally. You must ask Jesus to save you, to turn from sin, to turn to Christ, to be your Lord and Savior, and then you can freely worship Him and know Him personally. You'll have opportunity, if you have not done that, I'll be here to help you in any way I can. Maybe the Lord is leading you to saying, this is where I need to worship with brothers and sisters of like mind and like faith, of like belief. And this is where I'm going to serve Jesus at. This is a time to do that during this invitation. Maybe you need to just come and worship. The altar is a special place in this house. And people come and pray and worship between them and the Lord. Let's do that at this time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank You again for being present here. And Lord, sharing, Lord, how to worship You daily in giving. And Lord, I just pray that we'll tend to eternity at this time during this invitation. And may You have all glory in it. May Your Holy Spirit, Lord, move in hearts and lives. Lord, because it'll last for all eternity. We worship You now, even during this invitation. In Your name, Jesus, amen. Please stand.